series where we've been talking about cultivating our faith. We've been talking about when we celebrated Easter, the resurrection, faith in Jesus Christ, and how we can be born again, how we can be forgiven, how we can be assured of eternal life. We talked about how faith is the first step in this journey of living as a Christian. It's the first and most important step, but it's simply that. It's the first step. After we receive Christ by faith, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to add to our faith. We're building this building, and we add to our faith character, the character of God. We add to our faith self-control. We add to our faith brotherly love. We add these things to our faith. Last week, we talked about how you and I, after God has been so good to us, has God been good to any of you? Let me hear you say a good amen. If God has been good to us and really has redeemed us, and we really understand what he has done in us, we should want to grow and growth of an aspen tree. Aspen trees just won't grow out here in West Texas. The elevation is not high enough. There's not nearly enough water, and Texas summers are way too hot. It just won't work. And so you and I, there are positions and there are places that we can place ourselves. I don't care how strong your faith is. I don't care how long you've been serving God. You and I can place ourselves in situations that are not conducive to growth, and we will hit a ceiling and we'll stop growing. We have to understand environment and atmosphere is so key. I love to talk about creation. I love to read the Word of God. I never was a guy that believed in Big Bang, and I never believed that we evolved from monkeys, even though some of you still act like monkeys. You didn't come from a monkey. You were created in the image of God. I love to read about creation. And one of the things that I want to say today, when we talk about creation, one of the things God did is before God created mankind, before God created cattle, before God created living beings, I want you to see that God created an atmosphere and God created an environment where cattle could not just live but thrive. God created an atmosphere and an environment where man couldn't just get along but where they could thrive and live and be absolutely healthy. In the beginning, God looked down and everything was dark. Everything was dark. And how many of you know life can't live in darkness? Come on, somebody. And God said, let there be light. Boom, and at the power of our God, light shined. When light shined, revelation came, and God said, it's a mess down there. The water and the dry ground, it all runs together, and he goes, let the water and the dry ground be separated. And then the next thing he did is he said, let there be plants on the dry ground. He spoke into existence wild rye. He spoke into existence green grass. He spoke into existence the trees. And then he said, let there be animals. And he made all these animals. He made cattle, and he made deer, and he made horses. And the last thing that he created was the greatest thing that he ever created was you and I. You and I were created in his own image. God's hands have been on us. He formed us, and then he breathed his breath into us, and we became a living being. What I want you to see in that is this. God created an atmosphere and God created an environment that you and I, that mankind could live in, could thrive in, and could be all that God has called us to be before he created us. He created an environment. Let me read you the scripture. And then God created this environment for man to be healthy, for man to be able to eat good grass-fed beef. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And then God said, okay. You got water, you got dry ground, you got grass, you got cattle to eat, horses to ride. Here you are, Adam, it's all yours. But God said, wait a minute. There's one other thing that you're going to need, Adam. One other thing that you're going to need to be healthy and be all you can be. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. God said, you can't do this by yourself, Adam. God said, you can't do this by yourself, Breck. God said, you can't do this by yourself, Melissa. God said, you can't do this by yourself, Cole. God said, you can't do this by yourself, Breckenridge. God said, you can't do this by yourself. You can't do everything God has called you to do by yourself. It's not good that man be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord formed from the ground the wild animals, the birds of the sky, brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, and just let me just say, some of you cowboys, I've heard you call God's livestock some kind of names before, and it's not really the names that God gave those cows or horses. Come on, somebody. And all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right. There was no helper just right for Adam to help Adam achieve greatness, to help Adam be all Adam could be. And so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs, closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her unto the man. At last, the man said, finally, this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. This explains, for those of you that are struggling with what culture is teaching you and telling you right now, this explains why a man leaves his mommy and daddy and is joined to his wife, one man, one woman, and the two of them are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked. Thing was at Adam's disposal, and he goes, but there's one other thing. You need a partner. You need a helper. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. Can I just tell you right up front today, no matter how cool you are, no matter how tough you are, brother, no matter what your daddy has told you, no matter what your daddy told you, you can handle this, you got it, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Let me tell you, man of God, you can embrace somebody else to come along and be your helper. We're better together than we are by ourselves. You and I, if we're going to grow spiritually, we got to be around people that will encourage us. We got to be around people that are like believers. We got to hang around and we got to sharpen one another. And so it's a challenge. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Trouble. Real trouble. We need others. We need others in our life. No matter what you say, that create a healthy environment, a healthy place to raise each other up. We just need one. Can I just say right quick, because I've been doing this 22 years, and sometimes what happens is we start feeling sorry for ourselves. I just ain't got nobody. If I just had a people group, if I just had, you know, I've got this, I've got my spouse, but if I had somebody else and I've got my one friend, but if I had somebody else, can I just tell you right quick, and I'm not trying to be ugly, stop the whiny-hiny crap, okay? Stop feeling sorry for yourself, because you just need one. First of all, you got God. If you got God on your side, He is a very present help in time of need. If you got God on your side, He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. And if you got God on your side, if God be for you, who shall be against you? Yeah, I know you got God, but you just need one person to be around you to help you. Moses, greatest leader in the Old Testament, he had Joshua. Joshua was his guy. David, King David, the one that killed the giant king, he had one. He had Jonathan. Jonathan was his man, was his support group. Elijah had Elisha. You look in the scripture, none of the great people that you see in the Word of God, none of the heroes in our faith, none of them did it alone. Daniel, he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus had Peter, James, and John. Peter had his mother. Jesus had his mother, and he had his father. These godly connections, putting ourselves in a place where we can grow in a healthy environment. I want you to look at me. Look, 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 look. Some of you are in unhealthy relationships right now. Can I just tell you the truth? Some of you are in unhealthy relationships and people are dragging you down and they're causing you to sin and they're causing you to fall away from God and you're in the middle of a messed up time. Can I tell you, it's your responsibility to remove yourself from those places. It's your life and place yourself where you can grow and thrive. It's not the government's job. It's not your parents' job. It's not your spouse's job. It's not even the church's job. It's your job to place yourself where you can grow and where you can thrive. I'm a firm believer in this, that if you look around, God's already got some people placed in your life organically. God's already got some people placed in your life grassroots type, some people that can encourage you and lift you up. You just got to grab hold of them, and you got to make them a priority. This can sometimes be hard. I'm going to be real with y'all. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable with y'all. I'm going to tell you about some of my stuff, but I'm going to challenge you today, because this can be hard. Because so many of you are like me. Like, I grew up in this culture, this cowboy culture. And in this cowboy culture, you fought, you drank whiskey, you cussed, you chased the women. Come on, somebody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's your biker culture. Maybe it's the liberal culture. Maybe it's the college culture that you're living in right now, wherever it might be. So I was in this world, man, and I loved these guys. They were my heroes. I looked up to them, but then I ran smack dab into Jesus. And I want something better, and I'm trying to do better, but here I am stuck in the middle of my old friends and an old culture and new friends and a new culture, and I found myself in the very, very middle. It was hard to make that transition. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you this story. Jennifer probably is going to have a fit when I tell this, but I'm going to tell it. I was very new in my faith. Very, very new in my faith, man. And I was so excited. They called from Wichita Falls, a cowboy church in Wichita Falls. Jennifer and I were living at the Sixes up there. And they called from Wichita Falls and said, would you come share your testimony on a Sunday morning? Man, I was so excited. I was on fire, freshly, you know, giving my life to Christ. And on the Saturday, we worked about a half a day. On Saturday, before I was going to give my testimony on Sunday, some of my old buddies said, hey, we're going to hang out at the bunkhouse tonight. Won't you come hang out with us Saturday night? And I knew in my mind, because the bunkhouse is where all the cowboys hung out and where a lot of wild and woolly stuff went on. And I knew in my mind I did not even need to go up there, because it was not an environment that was conducive to my spiritual growth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I would like to tell you that your pastor of 22 years showed up at that bunkhouse strong and full of the Holy Ghost and did what was exactly right. But if I'm telling you the God's honest truth, I show up to the bunkhouse that night. They had a half a gallon of W.L. Weller, and they spun the top off that thing and throwed it away. And for about the first 30 minutes of them trying to get me to drink, and about the first 30 minutes of them trying to get me to give in, I stood strong. But that 31st minute, boy, I weakened like that. And next thing, I positioned myself in a place that was not conducive to my spiritual growth. I chose to make a decision to go up there, and I wasn't strong enough, and I gave in to the desires of my flesh. Many of you spent last night in an environment just like I'm describing. And I'm not trying to condemn you, and I'm not trying to condemn your friends, but I'm telling you, this is your spiritual growth, and this is your spiritual journey, and this is your salvation. And if you have a desire to be all you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to remove yourself from those environments. You're going to have to. I'm not saying those. Can I tell you how all things work together for good? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not telling you those are bad people that were up there. Can I tell you what's happened? I had to remove myself from a while from those guys. And I had to stand strong, and I had to be dedicated, and I had to be devoted to the Lord. And I'm not telling you that I'm better than anybody else, but I've been dedicated to God for the last 22 or 3 years. Can I tell you what's happened? Many of those guys that were with me on the bunkhouse porch that night, many of those guys that were in that situation, can I tell you, through my devotion and through my witness and through me living for the Lord, they have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and a couple of them are going to be in this church this Sunday morning to worship and glorify God. This was very hard in the beginning. Can I tell you my identity? There's so many nuggets in here, y'all. My identity was cowboy. My identity. Straight leg Levi's, pointed toe boots, by God, hat pointed toward stock, Camel cigarettes with no filter. That was me, man. Tied on hard and fast. The Lord rocked my world. Moved Jennifer and I back down to here. And next thing you know, you've heard my story. I'm not cowboy anymore. I'm down here trying to pastor a church. I don't fit in anywhere. If I'm being honest with you, for the first time in my life, I did not fit in anywhere. Western Heritage Classic is coming up in a few weeks. It's the Big Ranch Rodeo in Abilene, Texas. I never forget, I was down here. I had quit the ranch life. I had moved down here. I was trying to honor God. I was trying to quit all these habits and quit all this old life. And I wasn't entered in the rodeo for the first time in years. And my buddy Billy Lamb was sitting down behind the bucking chutes with some friends down there. I crawled from the stands down there, and I crawled to the back, and I sat down on that pipe with Billy Lamb, and we started talking. There was people everywhere. And in a minute, we look up, and everybody's gone but me and Billy Lamb. And I never forget Billy with his little, you know how Billy is, looked over at me and grinned. He said, "Cochran, I remember used to when you'd come down here and sit on the bucking chutes, and everybody would come flock down here and sit around you, and tonight you come walking down here, and everybody's left." I didn't fit in. I didn't fit into the cowboy world anymore. I didn't fit in because I was changing. And let me tell you, I'm trying to pastor this church in the Assemblies of God down here in the Abilene section. I did not fit into the church world either. The other preachers in this section, they thought I was nuts. They thought I was crazy. They were trying to run me off. And here I was, trying to grow and trying to be the best I could be. And I fit in nowhere. What did I do? I'll just be honest with you. I had to dig into my relationship with Tubby. Tubby was my gal. She's still my gal. She was my support. She was the one that encouraged me. She was my accountability partner. Let me tell you, she revels in and takes pride in being my accountability partner. Some of y'all may let me get away with some crap, but she won't. Come on, somebody. And so I just say to you today, for you that are married, for you that are in this deal, you know what? Your greatest, read what Scripture says, your greatest support group is your wife. Your greatest support group is your husband. I know that you rub each other wrong, and I know that sometimes he's abrasive and she's abrasive, but that's a gift. That's what God has given us, and we should elevate each other and raise each other up to another level. I had to dig in. I had to dig into her and trust her. Now, 22 years later, I still do. She's still holding me accountable. She's like Holy Spirit number 2, y'all. And then can I be honest with y'all? You know who my other greatest accountability group is and that sharpens me? My kids. And that's kind of humbling. You ever had your kids say something to you or hold you accountable on something, and you go, wow. Like Will, he's my partner. He listens to me. He helped me. Like Jesse like his mother. He will call me out on some stuff. And then Clara is this little girl, and I just feel this extra weight of responsibility to conduct myself and have a marriage that would help her to raise up and have a healthy view of life and of marriage. I mean, like my kids, it's just important. Can I tell you something, parents and grandparents? You better be creating an environment where your kids can come and be sharpened from you. You better be creating an environment where your kids can look at you and you can be the example for them, because I'm telling you, this world is dark and this world is not ever going to be drawing your children closer to God. The enemy is going to use this world and the governments of this world and the education systems of this world. The enemy will use culture in this world to pull your children away from God. And the children of nowadays are facing some stuff that you and I never ever face, and you better create an atmosphere in your home where your children at age 15, at age 18, at age 25 can come back to you and you can sharpen them and encourage them to go out and be all that God has called them to be. My family, held me accountable, shoot me straight. I got these friends in my life. I'm just telling you about me. It was my wife and my kids. And then Conrad, Conrad, y'all. Me and him shouldn't even be friends. If you knew our story, I don't have time to tell you our story. We shouldn't even be friends. He shouldn't be here. But the conversations that we have in my office and the coffee that we drink together and the trips that we have taken together, God has forged us, and he helps me be better, and I help him be better. And David Hager and Darren and Kay Hager and Gigi and Will and Colton, the people at this church, I am better because of the relationships I have centered around Christ. For years, I told you the Cowboys were drinking and fighting and doing all that. There's a group of my friends. They call us the Pals. We go punch cows. They're good Cowboys. We drag calves together. We ship cattle together. We ride broncs together. And for the first time in my life, I'm around these Cowboys that they want to serve Jesus just like I do. And we encourage each other and we help each other and we hold each other accountable. We need those kinds of friends. And can I tell you something, y'all? We need real friends. How many know there's a difference in a real friend and just a kind of a yes man friend? A friend that will buy into all your crap and buy into all your junk and buy into your temper and never hold you accountable. We need real friends. This is the real friends. Oh, I skipped that one. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. A lot of us, if our real friends try to rebuke us, you know what we do? We get booty hurt. We get booty hurt. But the scripture says we need some friends that will rebuke us, and we need some friends that will wound us sometimes. Sometimes I am behaving in a way, sometimes you are behaving in a way where we need a real friend to speak real truth, even though it cuts. We need them to wound us to help us be better and not just buy into our sin and our, anybody know what I'm talking about? Proverbs 13:20, you need an environment, you need an atmosphere. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Walk with a dummy and you're going to become dumb. Just saying, that's Cody Cochran right there. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. Associate with fools and you'll get in trouble. You want to be wise? You want to be better? You want to grow spiritually? Hang around people that are wiser. Hang around people that are stronger. Hang around, you got to do it. You got to do it. I can honestly say that I am better because of my relationships in Christ. They've taken me to new levels. Couple more things. I need support and you need support. If you believe that, say a good amen. Amen. I need support and you need support, but also, you know what else we need to do? We need to give support. We need to give support. Really, good, healthy relationships, really, the majority of the time should be 50-50. 50% of the time, I am receiving encouragement. 50% of the time, I am being supported. But the other 50, I'm giving encouragement. And the other 50, I am giving support. That's the way it's intended to be. Now, sometimes you're going through hell. And you know what? You need to be encouraged 75% of the time, and you're just giving back 25% of the time. Sometimes everything's going great, and you need to be encouraging 75 and only receiving 25. But can I be honest with y'all? A lot of people I know, And a lot of people in this church, you're needy and you need 100% all the time. Yeah, no other preachers will tell you that, but I'm telling you that today because I am not afraid to wound you because I love you like a friend and I want to see you be all you can be. You're needy. Every time I'm around you, you got tears in your eyes. Every time I'm around you, you're depressed. You got a problem. Things aren't going good. Everybody's mistreated you. The world is against you. You're absolutely a victim. You just need a hug. You just need time. You just need a moment. You just need something. Can I tell you? Don't become the person who is 100% needy all of the time. Because if you become the person that is 100% needy all the time, you will find yourself a lonely and isolated person because nobody wants to be around you. Y'all got quiet. You all know that person, don't you? You're thinking about him in your mind right now. Don't be that person. We are our best, and we stay our freshest when we receive and then we give. And we receive and then we give. We are reciprocating. We are giving and receiving. That is when we are at our best. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're doing. Do it." Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another." One more scripture. This guy named Job in the Bible, if you've never read his story, he received more persecution and more trouble. He had fortunes and he lost everything that he ever had. Lost it all, more than any of us could ever deal with. And he had these friends that came to encourage him in the middle of his tough time. And these friends encouraged him, and watch what he did. In Job 42:10, Job prayed for his friends. "Thank you, God, for my friends. Look at me. Look. Thank God for your real friends. And thank God for your support group. And thank God for your spouse. And thank God for your kids. And you need to pray for them. And you need to tell them how special they are in your life." Job prayed for his friends. And in that moment, the Lord restored his fortunes to him. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. The perfect picture of friends supporting friends and friends raising friends up and friends paying for friends praying for friends, and God kissed that situation and blessed everybody more than ever before. We got to have each other. Oh my gosh, I'm going long-winded today. Sorry, y'all are just going to have to put up with it, okay? One more thing. I feel like I need to tell you. Not all relationships are forever. You need to understand that. Especially those of you that are really, really sensitive, especially you women. Some of you women are really sensitive. You're more caring. You're more compassionate. And can I just tell you, not every friend group that you have is going to be a friend group forever. Can I just tell you that if you had friends that are friends 20 years ago and you're still trying to mother them and you're still trying to bring them up and they're constantly bringing you down and they're not willing to change and you find yourself at a new season and a new level in life, you are released to let those people go. They are not your responsibility. You are not their salvation. God is. They were a friend for a while, and it's okay to release those friends and let them go. It's okay. It's part of life. It's seasons in life. Let me give you a scripture. Genesis 22:5. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little further, and we will worship there, and we will come right back." I need to tell you this story. Father Abraham, father of our faith, he wanted a son. And at 100 years old, he finally had this son. And you know what God said to him? "I want you to offer your son up as a sacrifice to me. I want you to give me everything I've given you." Hard thing. And so Abraham loads his son up with some of his friends and servants, and they go to the bottom of the mountain. And Abraham knew at the top of Mount Moriah was the place he was going to have to offer his son as a sacrifice. Watch the wisdom in Abraham. Abraham said to the servants, "Y'all stay here at the bottom of the mountain, because we're going to go up here by ourselves." Abraham had wisdom, and Abraham knew that if he had taken those people with him to the top of the mountain, they would have never let him offer his son up as a sacrifice. He knew that they wouldn't let him do what God had called them to do. And some of you are hanging on to some friends, and they will not let you do what God has called you to do. Some of you are hanging on to some friendships from an old season, and they will not allow you to do what God has called you to do. And if you want to be obedient to God, you got to cut some of these old friendships loose and move on and trust God. As we grow on this journey, Conrad, y'all come help me close, please. As we grow on this journey of following Christ, we're going to constantly need great relationships. We're going to constantly need help and encouragement. Others are going to constantly need help and encouragement from us as well. I made this statement last week, and I'm going to say it to you right now. Look at me. Look. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I'm not being ugly. If you're just constantly hanging around with a bunch of hellraisers, it won't be long till you'll be a hellraiser once again. If you're hanging around a bunch of old sour, backbiting, gossiping biddies who are mad at everything, sooner or later, you're going to be a sour, backbiting old biddy with them. Can I just say to you college folks, you college kids, if you're hanging around with a bunch of college kids who are just going and making their faith a joke and they're drinking and getting all drunked up on the weekend and they're sleeping with their boyfriend or their girlfriend and they're living this loose living and they're entertaining this transgender movement and what Hollywood is saying, but showing up at church on Sunday, you keep hanging around them kind of people, sooner or later it'll suck you over into that kind of culture. It's your responsibility, men and women, to place yourself in an atmosphere and an environment that is conducive to your spiritual growth. Take charge of your environment. Take charge. Take charge. It's yours. Take charge. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. I just want to encourage you once again with this. The environment in which you live matters. You need people. I need people. It's okay to say that we need. Because it's not good for man or woman to be alone. God has created helpers for us. And I pray that God would open your eyes to see those relationships that are conducive to growth. And that'll take you to the next level. And then I pray that you would begin to sow into those relationships. You would be a giver. You would be a person that would give wise counsel. And that it reciprocates and we just see God moving and growing. And doing what He does. So Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak to us. You would challenge us today about our environment. You would challenge us about the atmosphere that we've placed ourselves in. Lord, I come against the spirit of pity and whiny-hiny and feeling sorry for ourselves, and I come against the spirit of excuses. Oh, well, I live in here and I work in this environment. No, God, let us focus on you and the relationship, one or two that we have. Let us cherish our marriages. Let us cherish our children. Cherish our parents. Let us cherish our church. Speak to us, Lord, about spiritual growth and about spiritual environment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, y'all, stand on your feet, and we're going to close with a song of worship.
Great and mighty. child.